It is Sunday, 15th of March. I'm Anthony, VK6AXB, and welcome to News West.
Hi, I'm Bob, VK6POP, reminding you that it's crunch time for the John Moyle Memorial Field Day. Yes, finally, the John Moyle is next weekend. Here are some important things that you should have in place. Firstly, are you going to run portable or home station? If portable, you should by now have a good idea where you'll operate from and have your equipment sorted. And if you've decided to operate home base, you should be okay already, but check anyway. Or, for instance, do you need to put up another antenna? For either mode, make sure you get your logging sorted out before the contest begins. There's nothing worse than the last-minute technology panic. For logging, you must know by now that good old VK contest logger is no longer suitable for this contest, as rules and log submission requirements have changed. I repeat, VK contest logger is out for the John Moyle. The recommended logger is N1MM, that's November 1 Mike Mike, which is free software. N1MM is on the Windows platform, and I'm told it runs on the Windows emulator on other systems. N1MM does require some setup by loading in configuration files for each contest. There is help available on WIA website, to a limited degree, on the John Moyle contest page, and it's right at the bottom. The config files, called UDCs, are there to download, but there are no instructions how to do it. You'll need to ask Uncle Google if you don't know how. I would have thought that with such a large move in how we do it, there'd be some help given. The average muggle isn't au fait with these things, including me. And once again, read the rules, especially to determine which category of the contest you want to enter, because there are 10 categories. Yes, 10 categories. So think about what your station is and choose a category that will give you the best result. Oh, and don't forget multipliers. The multipliers are based on call sign prefixes, so take the trouble to find and work the less frequently heard stations. Well, that's my lot. I look forward to hearing loads of VK6 stations on air next weekend. I'm Bob, VK6POP.
Good morning from the Southern Electronics Group. Last Saturday, the 7th of March, we held the SEG Mount Barker car boot sale. This event attracted around 40 sellers and buyers from across the Southwest and Great Southern, including Perth, offering all manner of equipment, parts, Flex and Ted Mtron from Comtech, plus a number of people giving away free stuff, which was a nice surprise. The door prize of a $150 voucher, kindly donated by Comtech, was won by Ross, a visitor and nephew of John VK6NU. It's an excellent venue with warm weather and a cool breeze making it very comfortable under the cover. The Southern Electronics Group would like to thank all the volunteers who helped set up and pack up, Steve Kennedy for the donation of the door prize, the sellers for bringing their wares, and the buyers and visitors who made the day a success. I would especially like to acknowledge Rob, VK6LD, for his initiative in getting this off the ground. I'm pretty confident this event will be back again in 2027. This is Darren, VK6EK, for the Southern Electronics Group.
A word from Wison. The next meeting of Wison will be held on the third Monday of this month. Due to the public holiday we had for the first Monday, bumping the meeting of WAG to the second Monday and thus Wison for the VK6 call area to Monday the 16th. It will not be held at the normal Midland venue due to a district leaders meeting. We have, however, been able to find a new temporary location, that of the first Beechborough Scout Hall, located on the right-hand side of Lord Street, around about 300 odd metres north of the roundabout at Lord and Banara in Beechborough. Doors will open 7 p.m.-ish for a 7:30 p.m. start. We'd love to see you there. We'll also have the Jitsi up and running. Please get in contact with Wison for the link. You can do that by the Contact Us page on the website at wisonwa.org. We'll be talking about the 2026 Memory Walk and Jog and the Wison participation in John Moyle. So, a quick reminder. Wison stands for the Wireless Institute Civil Emergencies Network. We've been around since the 1950s, and WISEN in its broadest form is a network of amateurs who prepare their knowledge and equipment for working under off-grid ecoms conditions, for if and when the need arises. In VK6 we have been many things over the years. Today we are best described as a group of hams getting out and doing amateur radio with an emphasis on preparing ourselves for service should the need arise. We hope it doesn't, but we plan to be prepared rather than to try to work it out at the pointy end. Practice may not make perfect, but it sure can't hurt. There are many stories through time and right around the world where hams have used our radios to relay information and to get help to people in need. If being prepared sounds good to you, we welcome your interest and occasional participation in WISEN training and events. We try to get out to do something every couple of months. Our last event was a fox hunt. We've done JOTA. We provide our expertise for Dementia Australia as a service for their awareness and fundraising annual walk and jog. WISEN has a weekly net running on Wednesday nights from 20 hours hotel. That's 8 p.m. local Perth time. We run it on both 80 metres, 3.600 plus or minus QRM, and on All Star, the VK6 hub network, from Northam and in Perth on VK6 RLM, that's 146.750, or Channel 3 in the old money. Feel free to check in and say hi. 73s from WISEN WA, VK6, Whiskey India Echo.
Thank you, Mark. And just to emphasise, it's tomorrow night that WISEN meeting is on. Mark was also kept busy down at the West Australian Repeater Group's technical activity session last Saturday. These days it's not always easy to get to repeater sites, so the idea of the technical activity sessions is a more regular get-together for WAG members and supporters where we can break out the tools and test equipment and get our hands dirty repairing, modifying, setting up and testing repeater equipment, going through our spares, getting better prepared for on-the-ground site work visits when they are organised. The first activity session went pretty well and we're planning the next one.
Right, Colin, VK6ACT, you're down here at the WAG technical day.
I'm just trying to program one of our repeaters. I'm just having a few issues with the programming software on it, but we'll get that sorted out. And we've got two to go. And then also we've got a power supply to sort out and some a controller for a link. There, we've got lots of work.
It's all go. Bob, VK6KW. You've brought the WISEN 2-metre repeater down for some checking out.
Yes, that's right. The history is that it was built, far as I know, by Mobile Masters for WISEN and Jim 6 Juliet Papar Silent Key had it at his place. Has been deployed in a number of events over the years, but on his passing, it came into my tender care. Had it running a few times on and off at home, but seeing as there's a workshop on, I thought it'd be a good opportunity to bring it down and have its state of health checked and verified and made fit for future use.
Anthony, VK6AXB, you're the one currently doing the testing on that WISEN repeater.
Yeah, it's a fairly old unit, but it's still quite serviceable for its age. We found that essentially it was still in good working order. Now we're just checking the alignment of the cavity filters and making a note of their performance too.
Great, thank you very much, gentlemen.
NewsWest, VK6ARN, across Western Australia.
Foundations of Amateur Radio. Just under a year ago, I started an experiment. I set up a beacon for Whisper, or Weak Signal Propagation Reporter, transmitting at 200 milliwatts into a dummy load, using 8 bands between 80 metres and 10 metres. I also set up an RTL SDR dongle connected to an external 20 metre HF antenna and made it monitor 18 amateur bands between 630 metres and 23 centimetres. I left this running 24/7 for most of the year, though there were times when I detached the antenna due to local thunderstorms, and there was a 7-week period where there were no reports. It's highly likely that I forgot to reconnect the antenna, but I don't recall. For this analysis, I used the online whispernet.org database, where I uploaded my spots as they were decoded. I noticed that there are reports that I have locally that are not in the database, though I'm not sure why. They're incomplete and not in the same format, and merging these is non-trivial for reasons I'll discuss. Lesson learnt. The RTL SDR WhisperD tool needs to be patched to output the data in the same format as is available from the online database, and I need to actively log locally. The results are puzzling, at least to me right now. Let's start with the low-hanging fruit. There are no reports of my whisper beacon being received by anyone other than me. That doesn't guarantee that nobody heard me, just that nobody reported that they did. In the database, there's just over 6,000 reports of my station receiving a whisper transmission from my beacon during the past year. The reports cover all bands, though not equally. The 80-metre band represents 6% of reports, where 40 metres accounts for 20%. The reported SNR, or signal-to-noise ratio, varies significantly across the data. For example, the 12-metre band shows a range of 42 dB. Digging into this does not reveal any patterns related to date, time of day, season, other band reports, or any other metric I was able to imagine. In my exploration, missing records and time zone differences aside, I discovered that the local data does not appear to match the database. For example, I have records where the software decoded my beacon 10 times in the same time slot, but none of them exist in the database. For others, there's only one matching record, which leads me to believe that the whispernet.org database only accepts the first report for any given combination of timestamp, transmitter and receiver, but I have yet to confirm that. So let's talk about getting more than one result for a specific time slot. As you might know, a whisper signal is transmitted every 120 seconds, starting at the even minute. Each transmission lasts 110.6 seconds. The decoder will make several attempts to decode multiple potentially overlapping signals. It is my understanding that the way this happens is by essentially removing a known decoded signal and then attempting to decode what's left, repeating until either there's no more signals to decode or time runs out, since there's probably only really 9.4 seconds in which to do this. Potentially, this means that a faster computer will decode more signals, but I've not actually tested that, but it's probably something worth pursuing. Back to our decodes. If the first decode is removed from the received data and the next decode gives you similar information, same call sign and Maidenhead locator with SNR and frequency differences, then you might imagine that there's so much of it there that the only way that might happen is because the receiver is overloaded. I'm still looking into this because if that's the case, then we'd need to determine if the receiver was always overloaded or only sometimes. It's curious since there's over 1,000 other signals being received from other stations, several over 18,000 kilometres away, so it's not like the receiver is completely swamped. Another hypothesis is that the decode is coming from a different band, like a harmonic. This is potentially caused because, from a band and timing perspective, the receiver isn't linked to the transmitter in any way. The transmitter hammers away 24/7 one band after the next, switching every 2 minutes. The receiver listens for half an hour on a band, then randomly picks the next until it runs out of bands and starts again. The receiver is listening on more than twice as many bands as the transmitter operates on, but that doesn't mean that it cannot hear the transmitter on a harmonic of one of the bands. Again, I don't know if this is the case or if something else is happening. One thing I'd expect is to see reports on other harmonics outside the bands that the transmitter is using, but I'm not seeing that. Perhaps the overload is limited to just the band we're actively monitoring, and the other signals are coming in regardless of the overload. I'm still trying to determine if that's the case. As I said, merging the data from the two sources is non-trivial. Time zones and formatting are not the same, and I'm not in the mood for manually fixing 2,500 or so records, not to mention attempting to determine which SNR is real for the multi-decodes. So, what did I learn? For starters, the world didn't come to a sudden and laborious stop when I transmitted into a dummy load. The experiment was interesting and worth doing. I should test using shorter runs until I've determined the mechanisms involved. For example, one amateur suggested that I might be decoding information that's coming in via the coax, rather than from an antenna. That said, doing so would also require significantly more effort to incrementally analyze this data, so I'd have to find ways to improve my workflow. The SNR is all over the place, not something that I expected. All bands are represented in the data. There does not seem to be any relationship between date, time, other stations, and the signal strength seen from the local transmission. I need better record keeping. No doubt there's more. If you have questions, feel free to comment. The experiment also leaves plenty of questions. Why do the SNR values vary so much? I can't imagine that the variation relates to propagation, since we'd have reports from other receivers. So, is it something else? Even though we're talking about equipment that's indoors, are we observing variations in electronics temperatures, for example? Alternatively, if the measurements represent overload of the receiver, why don't we see other harmonics, and how is it possible that we can receive and decode very weak signals from other stations? If the signal is arriving via an unexpected path, like the coax, rather than the antenna, what could we do to stop that from occurring? And what effects does it have on our current dataset? And could we account for those effects? I suppose leaving the ultimate question for last, is the data that I've collected over the past year useful, beyond potentially, this is not how you do this, or is it essentially meaningless? I'm Ono, Victor Kilo 6, Foxtrot Lima Alpha Bravo.
This is VK6ARN.
A new grouping to talk about. It's a coffee crew. Hams from around the Southeast Corridor, but really anyone is welcome and is encouraged to join in. When? Every Tuesday from 10:30 at the Timber Cafe in the grounds of Carey Baptist College, which is located at number 51 Wright Road in Harrisdale. That's Wright with a W. Not far from the Big Green Warehouse on Ranford Road. Good coffee, great company, and not bad food as well. Hams seem to eat a lot of their scrambled eggs. Occasionally burgers or cake too. Once again, this crew meet weekly at Timber Cafe for Tall Tales and True, ham style. Anyone is welcome to join in, call signed or shortwave listener.
Russ's QTC magazine March edition was published on Friday a couple of days ago, with a load of interesting content, and these include a discussion of the indispensable role of a National Amateur Radio Association, and there's a commentary on the issues facing amateur radio groups with government sites being sold to private enterprise, who in turn are asking exorbitant rentals. There's an article seeking feedback from readers, you, about the possible impacts of artificial intelligence on amateur radio. Who invented radio? Here's a story supporting the claim that it was Alexander Popov. It's a good read. The Burrack Club in Bendigo provided a story covering the commissioning of their spectacular remote mast at Gredwin. The photos alone are spectacular, and there's no prize for spotting the sometimes West Aussie working at height on that tower. There's more, of course, in QTC, which is produced by volunteers and is available to read online or to download as a PDF. Would you like to contribute to QTC magazine? Look on page 2 for information about contributing. The RASA website is vkradioamateurs.org and our email address is info@vkradioamateurs.org. I'll give those again, vkradioamateurs.org for their website, and the email is info@vkradioamateurs.org. And I'm Bob, VK6POP.
The next instalment of the WAG Technical and General Net will take place at 10:30 this morning after this news and the callbacks, but on VK6RLM 146.750 and the linked All-Star Hubs. And as usual, if you're listening to this in the evening, it's next week.
Good morning, this is Roy, VK6XRay Victor, with this week's disposal helpline for the 15th of March 2026, a free service for amateur radio and shortwave enthusiasts, electronic buffs, to sell, buy, or swap, or renegotiate your pre-loved equipment. Today I have the following items for you. For the 15th of March 2026, I have for sale items from a Silent Key estate, Phil Harmon, VK6 Papa Hotel. Proceeds to go to the Motor Neuron Disease Association of WA. We have the following item. It is an Alpha November 7000 Delta Lima Echo 160-meter to 6-meter high-performance SDR transceiver. It's a Alpha November and an NN 160-meter to 6-meter high-performance SDR transceiver. Blue face. In good condition, comes with mains power supply and power cord. There are also some ANAN spare parts, $2,500 the lot. If you would like that, please contact Steve. He also has a Kenpro elevation rotator and matching controller for satellite working. It's a Kenpro Kilo Romeo 500 elevation rotator, and asking $150 for that. Has also an original Hotel Papa SDR transceiver, as described in RSGB Handbook 11th edition, and designed by Phil and others. Produces about 5 watts output. Some spare boards available. $150 a lot. Please contact Steve, VK6 Victor Zulu, for that lot of equipment, and he may be contacted on his email address, which is Sierra Tango Echo Victor Kilo 6 Victor Zulu at tpg.com.au. Again, that's Sierra Tango Echo Victor Kilo 6 Victor Zulu at TPG, that's Tango Papa Golf, .com.au. And the next item I have comes from Michael. I haven't got a call sign there, have I? No, I don't think I have. But he has for you today a Yaesu Fox Papa 707 20 amp power supply in good condition. $100 asking for that. Also have a 2 element spider beam covering 20 meters, 15 meters, and 10 meters with a full size driven element and a reflector wire elements for each band, supported by a center hub with fiberglass spreader arms, asking $100 only for that 2-element spider beam. You may contact Michael on his mobile phone 0403 854 720. Again, that's 0403 854 720. And that's all I have for you for today. At least we have some items this week. And it's a free service for amateurs who would like to dispose of your pre-loved equipment. If you'd like to get hold of me and by email, you can call me or email me VK6XRay Victor at bigpond.com is the address, the only one you need for me, VK6 X-ray Victor at bigpond.com to renegotiate your pre-loved equipment. Thank you very much for that, 7-3, until next time.
And thank you once again, Roy. That brings us to the end of the broadcast for another week. I'd like to thank all of you for listening, and especially thank the broadcasters, relay stations, and everyone who submitted items for the news. We're always looking for more. If you know of something newsworthy, why not record it in MP3, preferably 256 kbit mono, or whatever you can manage, and email it to newswest@vk6.net, along with your contact details, in case we need to follow anything up. Another thing we're always looking for more of are volunteers who can help produce the news, once every few weeks, couple of months, or whatever timing works for you. All you need is a PC running the Audacity software, a decent microphone, and the willingness to have a go. If the idea seems a bit daunting, don't worry. The hardest broadcast you'll ever do is the first one. After that, you kind of know the recipe, and it gets easier. Again, if you're interested, please get in touch with us, newswest@vk6.net. So, you have either been listening to, or you have just missed, News West. Callbacks will follow on most frequencies, and all being well, we'll do this again next week. Until then, 7-3 from VK6ARN.